The book of Job, Job 42 and verse 2. Job says, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Then the Holy Spirit took my mind back to Job chapter 1, when God said to Satan, have you seen my servant Job? We wonder, why would God do that? Have you seen my servant Job? The kind of man he is, he's faithful, he's committed. And Satan said, it's because you are blessing him. It's because of all the good things you are doing for him. You take them away, you will see he will not bless you again. He will not worship you again. And God said, I know Job. God had a purpose in that discussion. It took Job so much time to realize it and stay here at the very end. I know that you can do everything. Every child of God must realize that. There is nothing God cannot do. And there is nothing God cannot use you to do. There is nothing God cannot do through you. I've told you here before. I said it anywhere I go. None of us is most important to God. Nobody here is important to God. Nobody here is most important to God. The reason why God made you is more important than you. The reason why God made me is more important than me. And that is the reason why purpose will always outlive each and every one of us. The plans of God will outlive everybody. Because the plans of God never dies. Praise the Lord. He says, no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. What you plan to do, nobody can stop it. Even those who rise up and they are recalcitrant, they are stubborn, wanting to stop the plans and the purpose of God. God still has a plan for them. But they can't stop it. And that is why I know nobody can stop the plan of God for your life. Oh my God, you don't believe me. I said nobody can stop the plan of God for your life. I don't care of that witch in your village, your auntie, whoever they might be, they cannot stop God's purpose. As long as you are connected to God, the purpose of God for your life will be made manifest. In Exodus 9 and verse 16, the Lord said, when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he said, but indeed for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. But indeed for this purpose, I have raised you up. I have allowed you to be conceived. I've allowed you to be born. So that I can show my power in you. God made you and I. God allowed us to be born. So that his glory may be revealed. Your ambition cannot reveal God's glory. Your plan cannot reveal God's glory. It is only the plan and the purpose of God through you, through me, that can reveal God's glory. He says, and for his name to be declared in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God. It is God. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure or of his purpose. Only God can bring his purpose in your life to pass. I'm giving you all these preambles because I'm starting something that I believe will stir you up in Jesus' name. We look at the beginning of creation after God. Oh Lord. Do you know that everything God made, he programmed success inside it? God programmed success inside everything he created. The seed he made, there's success in that seed that the seed will reproduce. Hallelujah. Put the seed in the ground. Give it water. Do you need to pray for it to grow? Hello? Because the seed is in the right place. So the seed will activate itself and become what God has programmed within it. Praise the Lord. So when he came to man, God called himself. He gathered himself together. Let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. And the Bible says, so he made man. So which is to tell me that everything God is, you are. Everything God is, you are. Jesus even repeated it and said, ye are gods. He said, but some of you would die like ordinary men. You just die for nothing because you don't have, you can't find your purpose. You don't know the reason why you are. But everything God is, that's who we are. His emblem is upon us. He rubber stamped his image in us. The first thing he did was to give you and I his image. And you know what? God is very mindful of that image. Amen? Like every manufacturer is mindful of the image of their product. Their product is their image. Praise the Lord. If you look at your iPad, you see an image there. It's called Apple. Apple made it. If you see the one of Microsoft, you see the image of Microsoft there. When you look at your exercise t-shirt, maybe it's a Nike or Adidas or Under Armour, you see that image. You know that this thing belongs to so and so. So when a manufacturer makes something and puts their image in it, they are putting all of themselves inside it. All of God is in you, tell your neighbor. Amen. Your conception, my conception, and our birth is as a result of what God wants to use you to do. There was something God needed to do that you alone could perform. So God decided and said, let me create this one. So go and do it. God started something that he wants you to finish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You were born to finish what God started. Praise the Lord. You are receiving the baton from somebody. In Jeremiah chapter 1, if you read from verse 4, Let's see Jeremiah chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and I'm praying God that the word of God will come to you today and you have a realization. But let me show you a picture of a natural man. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So before the sperm fertilized the egg, science says when a man ejaculates, his spermatozoa can be counted up to 500 million swimming towards one egg. Can you imagine? It was a marathon. 500 million. And God chose one. And that one became you. And you think it's by chance. No. It was by chance that it was you out of the 500 million that made it to the egg. No, it's not by chance. It was intentional. God intentionally made sure it was you. God intentionally made sure it was me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I put you aside. I separated you. God does not do anything for entertainment. No. He says, before you were born, I set you apart. That's what sanctification means, to set apart. I set you apart. Then I ordained you. Before your mother gave birth to you, you were already ordained. You had a womb ordination to accomplish something for God, not for yourself. He said to Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. The reality of his purpose stared him in the face. Guess what he said? Then said I, Lord God, I can't speak. You know why? That's who we are, every one of us. When the reality of who we are stares us in the face, we find an excuse. Oh, I don't want to lose my job. Because God's purpose for your life can obstruct your job. God's purpose for your life can obstruct your school. God's purpose for Mary's life obstructed her wedding plans. She was betrothed to be married. Amen? Until God showed up. Her marriage was put on hold. What if God shows up to you and says, no, you can't marry now? Oh, but we have printed flyers. I've had that many times. Even when I tell two people who want to get married in counseling that both of you are not made for each other. But pastor, we've printed flyer. What will people say? When you start killing yourself, we'll see what people will say. Praise the Lord. Everybody that God showcased their destiny to, he interrupted them. Interrupted their plans. Interrupted Moses. Praise the Lord. Mary said, hello. How should this be? I don't even know a man. How can this be? Huh? Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press, when God showed up to him and said, mighty man of valor, what are you doing here? Your destiny is great. You are using it to fan seed. You are using your destiny to remove flies from your food. You are selling your destiny for how much your employer say you are worth. And God is saying, I'm interrupting you. No, no, no. You are better than this. You are more than that. Tell your neighbor. You are better than this. You are more than that. Moses too said, I'm a stammerer. And God is like, no. This is what I created you for. Everything God has done in his redemptive work is about you and I. Praise the Lord. You were sent intentionally here by God to do something valuable for him. I was telling the workers this morning, anything you do for yourself by yourself, and God is not involved, is an ambition, not a vision. When God is involved, it becomes bigger than you. When God is involved, or when God gives it to you, you know that you will need God's help. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's where we end. Because we are afraid. Praise the Lord. We are afraid. I pray that that fear would disappear today. Hallelujah. I shared with the workers this morning. I'm going to share with us, those of us who are here this morning. When I began to meditate on this issue of purpose, destiny, potentials, and so much more, God brought my attention to this church and our motto. Our vision statement says, raising a people of great value, and a lot of us don't understand it. A vision statement is what you stand for. Everybody needs a personal vision statement. This church was birthed to raise a people of great value. How do we know you are of value? When you are affecting somebody else's life positively. And God amplified it. He said, it is raising a people of great value for kingdom advancement. Because you can become a person of value to yourself alone. God is not looking for a local champion. You are a global entity. Tell your neighbor, you are a global entity. I say you are a global entity. And God is going to amplify you in Jesus' mighty name. The reason you are still alive, that I'm still alive, is because I am necessary to God's plan. Because you are necessary to God's plan. And that's why you are still here. So, there were questions that were posed to me many, many years ago in the Bahamas. If I remember correctly, I think it was 1999. There were five questions. Five questions that every child of God must answer if your life is going to be meaningful. You have to answer these questions. These questions are the reason why everything we see is what it is. These questions are the reason why, or how people answer it, are the reason why people are who they are. These questions are the reason why you are the decision you made. Everything happening in the world today is attached to these five questions. These questions have created good things, wonderful things, marvelous things, and including very, very bad things. And they are not questions you can truly answer by yourself without God. Remember, it is God that worketh in us to will and to do according to his purpose, according to his good pleasure. The Bible says from the Amplified, or if you have the NIV, Proverbs 20 verse 5. Can you show me the NIV? Proverbs 20 verse 5. The purposes of a person's heart, they are deep waters. But the one who has insight is the one that do what? Draws it out. The Amplified said, counsel in the heart of a man is like water in a deep well. But a man of understanding draws it out. So you need the help of God to answer these questions so that you can flow and follow the right direction. One of my mentors said many years back, he says, the graveyard is where you find the most treasures. You wonder why, even though they are full of dead bones. Because 98% of the people in the graveyard, they died with their purpose. They never lived out their purpose. The treasure God kept inside them died with them. So when I met this man, the first time I met him, I think it was 1996 or so, Dr. Miles Monroe of blessed memory. I remember telling you I bought a book from his table. And I went to him to autograph it. And he looked me in the eye. That was my beginning, the beginning of my relationship with him. And he wrote in the book, die empty. Die empty. I was confused. I didn't understand what he meant until probably a couple of years later. It meant everything you came from heaven with, make sure you leave it on earth. Leave out everything. Paul said, I am ready to be poured out like a drink. I have fought a good fight. I have done everything that I am supposed to do. Even Jesus said, now I have done all that you asked me to do. Now glorify thou me. He said, the greatest tragedy in life is not death. And that is what we weep upon. When you look at the epitaph of anybody, that is the stone on their grave. They put their name, some put scriptures, and then the year they were born. A dash in between, and the year they died. Even in death, we highlight the insignificant. And that which is more significant, we represent it with a dash. Some people get angry if they don't celebrate their birthday. And yet they are making no difference. They are just celebrating age. They are not celebrating achievement. They are not celebrating, oh, I just made a difference. I created something that is able to heal cancer. But if they don't celebrate their birthday, if you don't say happy birthday to them on their birthday, you become their enemy. And we have raised up our children to be in that like manner. That if when it's birthday, some people go all out. 1 year old baby. We now start, in fact, the kind of celebration we will say, and the baby is sleeping. Traditions of men and wasting resources. The money you could have put in the account for the baby, praise the Lord, and put in an account that will be yielding in that child's future. Now you call all the people who hate you and those who don't like you enough to come and cry over your baby, and the baby is sleeping. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm believing God that you'll be wiser by the time you leave this place today. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me tell you, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. Me, the ones our children do, is by force. I'm telling you, I'm not a ceremonial person. It's by force. I've told my wife, after this one they did, 6 and 7, the next one is 15. And it's 16, right? You will tell me the significance of 16. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Amen. So the greatest tragedy is not death. The most important part of that person's life, the life they lived, is represented with a dash. There are some people who have died. When they still talk about them, it's a long list. It's a philanthropist. It's a this. It's a that. You know that bridge is the one that built it. You know that hospital is the one that built it. Their name is on that hospital. This and that. Fantastic things. I pray that great things will be said of you and I. In Jesus' mighty name. Even after we have left this side of eternity. In Jesus' name. So the greatest tragedy is not death, but it's life. The greatest tragedy is life. A life without purpose. A meaningless life. I asked the workers this morning, I'm asking you too. Think about it. God created you in his own image. God said, you are my image. I'm putting my image on you. And all you use the image to do is to wake up in the morning, bath, and go to work. And you sell yourself short. Your employer determines who you, your worth. Everybody has domain. But not everybody pays attention to their domain. Not everybody cultivates their own land. You spend 8 hours to cultivate another man's land. And you still spend no time at all to cultivate your own land. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. Not knowing why you are alive is a tragedy. And this goes too much for black people. As I landed at the airport the other day, I went to, my luggage did not come on time, so I had to go back to the airport. I packed my car, and when I was driving out to check out and pay, before I got to that kiosk, my mind said to me, it's going to be a black person there. And lo and behold, it was a black person. And my heart broke. Why must it be a black person? Any new restaurant they open, oh, coming soon, coming soon. Now hiring. Guess who is being hired? One nice chicken place around my area now that I've visited twice. The people that serve there are black. It's annoying. It's annoying, guys. It's annoying. Every Chinese restaurant that I've been to, I've never seen a black person own one. They are owned by Chinese. But when I went to England these last few weeks, I became so excited. They took me to a store almost as big as a Walmart. It's an African store owned by a Nigerian. I could almost somersault. And he has three of them. And his warehouse, I saw it. It's called Hades. Oh, what a joy. I said, a Nigerian owns this? He said, yes. So it's possible. This boy, he's a young boy. He was an IT consultant. Before he left the job, I said, no, this is not me. This is what I want to do. He joined his brother's business, carrying load, incubating his own dream. They said the day they opened it, the Nigerian ambassador was there, different Caribbean ambassadors were there, Chinese ambassador was there to open a Nigerian man's store. Woo! Said, what are you doing? When are you going to call me to come and dedicate your own store? Your own big Walmart. When are you going to call me to come and dedicate that dream inside you?
I've not even started preaching. Time is gone. This is my introduction. But let me give you just one of those questions. One. Because I've not given you any of those questions.
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? That's one of the biggest problems on earth today. The problem of identity. I see people wanting to be like somebody else. Want to dress like somebody else. My wife knows me. I don't dress like anybody. I'm my own creator. I create my own things. I create my own fashion. I'm telling you, I dream it before I get out of bed. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's black sauce and brown sauce. Sometimes. When you strive to be like somebody else, you have lost the plot. You have lost it. This is one question that is left unanswered by many. And as long as you can't answer it, you will keep selling yourself short. As long as you can't answer it, Ah! When I came out of prison, one man looked at me and he said he wanted to bless me. Then he gave me this suit. You know the Taylor Laurent suits? Some of you don't know. You only know Ralph Lauren. This one is Taylor Laurent. In this man's mind, he wanted to help me. And this is what happens. Because people don't know you. They don't know who God made you. He gave me that. I looked at it. And I looked at myself. Is this who I have become? Is this me? I say, God forbid. Back to sender. Back to sender. I reject it. Some people were like, well, you know, I just came out. This, that. No, not me. I had a dream. I was big inside. Amen? I was very big inside. My dreams are crazy dreams. The dreams I dream, I put God in trouble. And somebody now gave me Tola Laurent's shirt. I reject it. I said, no, I'm sorry. No, you may think I'm proud. Yeah, I'm proud of my destiny. This is not me. You want me to be confined to this? I refuse. Praise the Lord. When you can't answer that question, you become afraid. Afraid of losing out. You are afraid. You accept whatever value others put on you. Because in the mind of that man, oh, he's an ex-convict. Think my dream has died. Because I went to, you don't even know why I went there. I was dreaming big. That's why I went there. Praise the Lord. Then you begin to prostitute your destiny to the highest bidder. Because you don't know you. You stop dreaming great dreams. I learned that when you are a robot of blessed memory, when you enter into his office, the first thing you see at ORU in his office, we only dream big dreams here. No small dreams here. When you look at your problem, look at God. God is mega times mega. If your problem see God, it will melt. But what happens is that you don't show God your problem. Or you don't show your problem to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't dream mediocre dreams. Dream the dream that will put God in trouble. Did God not say, oh yes, I will do this, I will do that, not for your sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, for your name's sake. This is my dream. If you don't do this, people will think I have no God. Is somebody following me? When you can't answer that question, then you have no willingness to make any sacrifice out of your comfort zone. Everybody is comfortable in their comfort zone. Don't disturb me in my comfort zone. That's when you take the duvet and you cover up again, snoozing. Many, for the fear of pain, refuse to push out what God impregnated you with. Push out. Because you are afraid. When you achieve purpose, you are not going to lose nothing. You are going to gain more. Praise the Lord. Many people, due to ignorance, have aborted great destinies, great vision, out of fear. Find yourself in Christ. Find yourself in the kingdom. Find yourself in God's plan. Find yourself in God's purpose. You are who God says you are. Not what any man says. Not what your condition says. I shared with the workers this morning. I'm going to close with this. A lot of people have excuses, saying their environment is the reason why they are not making it. It's because of where I am. Four pastors came to Kansas City and said, oh, it's so difficult. They ran away. And God said, I should come. And in coming, here we are. We own this building. Praise the Lord. Others could not stay in a hotel. They ran away. I dream big dreams. I see myself. You hear me say jokingly, you want to bless me for my birthday? I said, do you have a helicopter for me? No, it's my dream. So I can leave home 5 minutes and then reach here. Just fly, pam, you know, and get here. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you something. Those of you who have written a check to be a blessing to me, let me tell you. Hear me very well. You are not doing it to favor me. You are doing it to favor yourself. You are doing it to advance your own destiny. Praise the Lord. Did you hear me? You are doing it what? To advance your own destiny. It's not because I'm hungry. Or is there anybody here I've knocked on your door and said, please, I'm hungry. My family can't feed. Please help us. It will never happen. Amen. When I bless my pastor, I am speaking, drawing the honor from his life into my own life. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, this needs to be said so that you can get angry with me. My God. All these years that I've been your pastor, people have moved, people have come. Pastor's appreciation. This last appreciation, I looked at it and I laughed. And I'm like, Lord, please open their eyes to see. Some put $1 there, $5 there. All the appreciation everybody has given in this church is not up to 1,500. It's not anything for me to do cartwheels about and say, glory to God, hallelujah. I still pray for you though. I still pray for you. That one day you will catch that revelation. I've had people say, what do you give somebody who has everything? That's none of your business. It's what you want that you should focus on. Amen? What you want, what you need in your life. That, Lord, I'm sowing this seed into the life of, and I'm not saying this to cajole you to do anything. Even next one, don't give me. I have enough to feed my family and myself. I'm telling you. They say Paul was a tent maker. Me too, I'm a tent maker. I make tent in a different manner. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I still love you. Praise the Lord. If I didn't love you, I won't come back. Because where I went, they spoiled me.
I'm not going to lie. They spoiled me. Praise the Lord. Find yourself, your place. Find your purpose. I was speaking with my wife last night. Same thing I'm talking to you about. If it gives you sleepless nights, find your place in Christ. Find the reason why you are and give everything you have for that reason.